At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Hey, welcome to our podcast. It's called Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with Evan Jenkins, the webmaster who's been known to bust a few cojones down through the years in various ways. And we're here to talk about the 2023 NHL draft coming up Wednesday night. It's finally here. The Red Wings did do the seller thing at the trade deadline. And as a result, they have five picks in the top 43, including three in a row in the second round, which nobody talks about because second round picks aren't that interesting. And they got no lottery luck. Everybody knows it. They're at nine, which is kind of a precarious situation because there are five or six players that are obvious that they're going to go before that. And if any of those players drop to nine, the Red Wings will probably take one, I would think. The good news for the Red Wings is they have issues at center ice. And this draft is one of the best drafts in a long time for centers. Also, the Red Wings have drafted a lot of defensemen under Steve Yzerman early in the draft. You got the Wallanders, Edvinson, of course, Moritz Seider, a number of players that are going to be in the NHL from those drafts. And this isn't a very good draft for defensemen. So it should fit up in a certain way, theoretically. So I got some thoughts on it. First of all, look, Connor Bedard's going to go first overall. Adam Fantilli's going to go second overall. Probably third overall be a Swedish centerman that would fit the Red Wings ideally. His name's Leo Carlson, but he's not going to be there. There's no way when the Red Wings draft. Will Smith from the U.S. developmental programs, another center. Small center, but very good playmaker. If he drops to the Wings, I would assume they would take him, or there's something really wrong. He's going to go very early in the draft, and they're not going to be there. Another player, Dalibor Dvorsky, Swedish center, he's likely to go before the Red Wings draft. If any of those players fall to nine, there's a high probability that they will be selected by the Red Wings. So just to make that clear, Mitai Mitkov from Russia is ranks right with Fantilli as the second best prospect in this draft. Some would say he's in Connor Bedard's area. He's played in the KHL the last couple of years. He's top notch. But there's a lot of geopolitics going on in the world. I don't know if people knew that because we focus so much on drafts these time of the year, right, Evan?
But, no, exactly. And what is it? He won't play over here for a few years. Is that what it is?
Well, he signed in the KHL. He's playing in the KHL. It's the second best league in the world.
Right.
And, you know, nobody's been over there to see him because they can't get in there because there's a lot of problems in Russia. But, I mean, they've seen him a lot because of a lot of video. And everybody knows how great he is. He's been great for a while. And he signed through 2025, I believe it is, or 2026, 2 years. Okay. Beyond this before he can come over and help you. The Red Wings obviously have a lot of connections in Russia. Sergei Fedorov is still relevant over there, and particularly with this young man. But there's a lot of people who look at him and say, you know, he's a little bit cocky and all that. If he falls to nine, or even more importantly, falls to 17, there could be an issue for the Red Wings. If he drops like a stone, and the Red Wings don't do anything with their picks, and that 17th pick is what they picked up from, in this draft. you know, that is something that could happen here with him. He is, you know, a high-end talent. It might be worth a couple years down the road. And part of it, too, is everybody's like, wow, hoard draft picks. You only have 50 contracts that you can sign these guys to. And a number of Eisenman's picks, the Carter Mazers, the Armadeus Lombardis, you know, some of these guys have gotten good enough now that they have to sign them. So what are they going to do with their 50 contracts and how is it all going to sort out? So you just can't draft guys all the time. Mikhoff may appeal to them as 2 years down the road because he comes in the league at that point, he's going to be ready made. You know, but again, it gets to signability. They have a lot of money over there to spend on players, at least now. I mean, who knows? I mean, it is a geopolitical situation, literally. But, you know, that's an interesting player because he's so high end. Yeah, so those are the dynamics of it. Again, a lot of picks early in the draft. You know, not just first rounders. They have three second rounders in a row. So that is the dynamic of the draft heading into it for this year. Centers are very strong. Eisenman has avoided taking centers to this point. He's taken size. One of the things that was reported is that he went out and scouted personally Samuel Hanzik, who is a big winger, you know, up and down winger with Vancouver in the Western League, the Vancouver Giants. And, you know, all of a sudden his draft stock has risen, you know, because Eisenman saw him. So there's a lot of projection that Eisenman's interested in him. He was a guy that coming into the year was projected as a second rounder. Then it was maybe, you know, he has somewhat productive year and he moved up a little bit. And then he moved up a lot. So a lot of people are thinking he maybe he'd go nine in the draft. I've watched a lot of him here lately. I don't see it. I see it as a potential 17th pick, not a nine. But Steve Eisenman has been outside the box before, you know, particularly with the Sider pick. So it's a possible that Hanzik could end up, you know, at nine overall. I just don't see it if some of these players are here. And to get to the rub of it, Evan, you know, first of all, anything that you're looking at, because you're my litmus test on it, and you're wondering about this draft, because I know not everybody's like, oh, man, I know all about the NHL draft and these guys. Before I actually get into the guys I see for the Red Wings here.
Well, my biggest question actually comes from those three straight picks in the second round. I'm going to assume a lot of people are going to think of this, too. Can they not package that to go get another player up in the first round?
Well, second, yeah, just to give you an idea of the second round, and actually it's less this year, but 12 of the picks in the second round are actually picks not by the team that's picking. They got them in right. Trades. They trade second and third round picks in the NHL, you know, like, heck, you know, we order beers at the bar if we're thirsty after the 18th hole.
Right.
You know, so it's traded. I think the third round's got 16 picks that are actually traded picks for teams. So how they're going to do that, how they would package it, I don't know. I know they're not as valuable as you might think.
You okay.
Know, the odds of a second round pick in the NHL are discernibly lower than they are for the first round. Now, you know, Kuznetsov was taken 56th overall by Eisenman. You know, the NHL history is full of great second-round picks. A player that the Red Wings are likely going to target here, you know, once the offseason begins in earnest. Alex DeBrincat was 39th overall, a second-round pick. But as a general rule, they don't have as much value as, you know, remotely what you would have in the NFL, for example, which is the litmus test for most people for drafts because it's more familiar, straightforward, and publicized.
Would you – okay, so Steve Eisenman is a little bit of a loose cannon with the draft, meaning he's not going to stick with, like, your mock drafts that you see online, right? Is
no,
there
Steve doesn't care about what I think, and he doesn't right. care about what all these mock drafts think. No.
Is there anything that would surprise you with pick number nine?
Well, Hanzik would surprise me.
Okay.
Yeah, that would surprise me at nine. He doesn't look like he's a, you know, top 10 draft pick, the kid that he actually went out and scouted. That would surprise me. That would be outside the box.
Because I was looking this morning just trying to do a little prep, and in one publication, Sportsnet out of Canada, had them taking Otto Stenberg, a center.
Yeah.
And that's because they say that the Red Wings and Steve Yzerman are hard to predict.
Well, I don't see him taking Stenberg there. Okay. But I couldn't see them taking a center.
Okay.
The guy that I think fits them the best is a player from the U.S. developmental program. He has one very, very special skill, and he's a center, and that's Oliver Moore. Now, if he drops down to nine, you know, which he probably will, I'm thinking, that would be somebody that I think would fit into their mold. The reason I say Oliver Moore is he's a little younger for his draft age. I don't think he'll be 18 when they actually have the draft. And Yzerman looks at that. All right. He's projecting players for what they're going to be 2 or 3 years down the road. And his skating, Evan, is utterly extraordinary. I mean, utterly extraordinary. He produced at a high level for that U.S. developmental program. He produced for the World Junior team. He is just an incredible skater. I mean, we're talking about, you know, he's faster, actually, and a better skater than Dylan Larkin. And I'm not exaggerating. And that's the player that he reminds me of, is Dylan Larkin at the same age when he was with the U.S. developmental program before he played a year at Michigan. He's from Minnesota, and he's going to play college hockey at a high-level program that's equal to Michigan's at the University of Minnesota. So I could see Yzerman selecting him, letting him play a year out, and then seeing what happens from that point, because he's a potential, once he gets to college hockey, Hobey Baker finalist or that type of player, kind of next year's Fantelli. So I see him as a high-end player. Now, there's some flaws there. When you get somebody who's that great a skater, and that's the number one issue for a hockey player, how well you skate, you know, sometimes his skating is a disadvantage. He'll cough up the puck. He plays at a pace that's like, you know, so fast. But I see he's got a pretty good shot. You know, I've seen him score some goals, you know, up shelf over the crest of the shoulder of the goalie. I've seen him make some plays. I think he's a little bit better passer than some of the pundits have said, just watching him with the eyeball test. And I've seen him play a lot because those games are available. And, you know, I have a lot of interest in the U.S. developmental program just out of general interest. I love Oliver Moore because then I love skaters, guys who can skate. You know, I mean, you know, that is something that if you can keep pace or just honestly, it's a track meet when he's out there.
Now, reality, too, because we taught, you know, the kid from Russia who's 2 years out or whatever, but the player that they draft on Wednesday evening is still probably 2 or 3 years away from ever wearing a Red Wing sweater. Isn't that correct? So
I would say 1 year, maybe.
Okay. Okay. You so
know, I don't necessarily buy that. The other player that I'm looking at here, if he falls, and again, this is questionable. I think it's even more questionable than Oliver Moore is Ryan Leonard. A winger, also from the U.S. developmental program. High production, extraordinarily intense player. This is somebody, they need grit and they need grease. Okay? Last year, those games against Ottawa were extraordinarily exposing for the Red Wings. And the fact they got knocked around and had no answer for it. Ryan Leonard's not going to get knocked around. He's a winger. He's tough. He's somebody that would give them that kind of a Kachuk-like element. And he's going to play a year in college. I think it's Boston College that he's committed to. But he's a guy that, again, he goes into college hockey, has one good year under his belt. He's going to be ready for the NHL knocking on the door next year. So these guys, Evan, they've played against college competition already. They have done well. That team, you know, was very successful. They played in the World Juniors already and had success. So those are two players that would be hard to pass up at that point for me, those two players from the U.S. developmental program. So those are the guys I look at 9. If they fall, that would be realistic for the Red Wings. And, of course, you got to put Hanzik in there simply because Yzerman scouted him personally. I'm sure he wasn't waving a thing. Hey, I'm at this game. But he was. And he was spotted. Now, there's other players that can fall into this category again at 9 or 17. Okay. So I'm going to – well, any other questions on this?
You answered them all about 9. My biggest question was how long of a wait are Red Wing fans going to have to wait to see this kid end up, you know – playing at LCA.
Well, the other players that I'm going to mention here, to me, you might have to wait a little longer.
Okay.
One of them, obviously, with Hanzik, I don't see Hanzik going in and, you know, he's going to be back in junior hockey. All right. Gabe Perreault is an interesting name. Yannick Perreault's son, Yannick Perreault, played in the NHL for a long time. And he's a small player who doesn't skate that well, which doesn't sound good, except the bottom line about it is his instincts are incredible. He plays at the center ice, and he is somebody that put up utterly incredible numbers for the U.S. developmental program. Utterly incredible numbers. So, you know, unprecedented. So you got to look at that production. You got to look at the NHL bloodlines and consider him. And there's a wide swath where he may be. He may be there at 9. I think he will be. He may be there at 17. So that's a player that I would look at. We talked in our first podcast about Colby Barlow from the OHL. Big time score, a great shot. You know, Red Wings have struggled to put the old biscuit in the basket, that type of thing. Barlow has great instincts for scoring goals, and he's a tough player. He's somebody that, you know, is going to develop into a man in the NHL, meaning he'll be able to knock some heads and everything. He could be like a, you know, a Tyler Bertuzzi with a little more scoring touch if he's at his top of his game. An Alex Tuch, you know, one of those type of players that he may be. That have had real good careers. Another player that I would look at is Danielson from the Western Hockey League. He is a player that is a center. He's done pretty well, and there's a wide variety of thought on him. He played on a bad team. You know, was the competition that he was playing with hurt his development, or did he get better development because he got a lot of ice time and was a player? And just reading some of the reports on him that I've seen from, you know, these various services, that there's some question about his compete level, but he's a player that could go there. Also, I really like Quentin Muskrie is a player who had a real good year in junior hockey as a kid from Buffalo, New York. And he's somebody that could come up relatively quickly if he's there at 17 and they like him. I could see that as a potential. Again, another center. It's a draft with a lot of centers. And a lot of these centers, you got to understand, if you're looking at somebody who's a little bit bigger sometimes with centers, and most of these guys are smaller, they're going to end up playing wing in the NHL, so that versatility will be a factor. And a player that I like a lot, he played at Michigan this year, and to me is very interesting to watch him play, was Gavin Bindy, who's a 5'8", a center for Michigan. Now, and he, sometimes he played on the top line with Fantelli. And he's only 5'8", Evan, and he's small. But every time I watch Michigan play this year, he stood out. So I like him a lot. He's somebody that could go 17. He's somebody that if he falls down because of his size, could fit the Red Wings in the second round, and they may have a player that comes into the league and does well. A lot of times, short players, for whatever reason, do not get their due on draft day, and it really doesn't matter much once they actually get out there because they're able to fend for themselves or they're tough. The classic example is the Brinkett. You know, I kind of laugh and people say, oh, that's a little forward or whatever. That dude's a little ball of hate in front of the net. You know, you don't want to – it's the same with Konechny, who they're probably going to take a run at here from Philadelphia. Those guys are small, but they're tough. And you got some big guys who don't do anything and use that size. These little guys know how to use their leverage that way. Think about who's the nastiest player in the NHL. It's Brad Marchand. Is he big?
No.
No. These guys aren't, you know, going to be Brad Marchand crazy out there. But they know how to fend for themselves. So I like him a lot as players to look at for the Red Wings.
Now, there's one other name that I've seen like linked to the Red Wings at 17, and I don't believe you mentioned him. His name is Matthew Wood from
– Connecticut.
Yep. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. He's on my list here. I didn't, Matthew Wood is a 6'2", 6'3", winger.
Okay.
He scored a lot of goals. And the reason that he's mentioned a lot is it's kind of like the old, hey, there was a player at this college who reminded you of him. And the player,
the Canadian thing. Huh?
Well, it's not a Canadian thing. It's a size thing. Okay. Actually, it's an American thing. Tage Thompson for Buffalo. All right. He was drafted by the Sabres. Bigger player, high productive player, younger throughout his so-called amateur ranks. Got into professional hockey, struggled a little bit. And then this year went off for, I think it was 46 goals. I mean, he lit up the Red Wings like a pinball machine. He was part of the destruction of Nevelkovich as their goalie. With that game in Buffalo where they just went crazy on him or bombing shots at him. So right now they look at this kid. He's from UConn, which has a very good hockey program, kind of gets lost in the shuffle out there, among the Bostons and U and Boston College and Quinnipiac and all those great programs that are on out east. And so people are looking at him and say, is this another Tage Thompson? And so he definitely would fit in. He does have a chance to be a big winger. Do I think he's Tage Thompson? No. No, Tage Thompson was much more – I don't know. Tage Thompson looks more like the role.
Right.
Than Matthew Wood.
Okay.
All right. I mean, he did at that time, when he was at UConn. And he was playing for, World Junior Hockey. But – I do think Matthew Wood is definitely somebody that could go to the Wings at 17. He could go to the Wings at 9 in a real reach. And certainly if he were to fall, again, you got to remember, some of these guys are going to take a plummet. And he could definitely be somebody that they would take. But I'm expecting moves. I'm expecting moves on draft night. I'm not expecting it to be quiet. And again, it's an odd market. That ninth pick is something to dangle. And certainly you got to look at Konechny, maybe Laughlin from Philadelphia. Daniel Briere's, let it be known, he's looking to get draft picks. He's where Yzerman was a couple years ago. Konechny fits the Wings a lot in many ways. It's going to cost them more than the ninth pick in the draft, though. They'll have to give up some of their young defensive depth probably. And, but he's a right-handed shot and a winger. Even though Raymond's a right-handed shot, he plays left wing. But they're going to have to fill that top. They need a second center. Kopp is not a second center. So what they need is a second center. And I don't know if they're going to get that through free agency or trades. It just doesn't seem to be there. Anybody gets a center, they tie him up. Rob Thomas, everybody, they get these huge contracts like Larkin got. Wingers a little different. They can get Konechny or they can get the Brinkett through a trade. And they have to give up something for him. But that would give them quite a top line, Evan, when you look at the situation with Raymond who play, even though he's a right shot, plays left wing. And you have somebody like DeBrincat or Konechny that you could bring in. And Laughlin could be their second center, although I thought his performance last year wasn't very good. But that's somebody to look at for potential trades for them. And I'm writing a column about the offseason here as well. You can check that out at odyssey.com. You know, 97.1 The Ticket Twitter page, my Twitter page. And, of course, Evans at the King of the KFC. And, of course, on the Facebook page, which Evans is going to feature it very prominently, I promise you. So, you know, that's what's going to be going on with it.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm glad that we do this podcast, because now when Wednesday night rolls around, I'm not going to be like, I've never heard of that guy, never heard of that guy, never heard of that guy. And with this information, it's good, because this is something that you don't hear normally on 97.1 The Ticket here in Detroit, because it's a little too geeky. But you know what? For hockey fans, this is like Christmas and Easter and birthday all rolled up into one.
Well, it is, you know, a huge deal. And this is a big offseason for the Red Wings. And there's a lot of dynamics with the Red Wings. So this is a time of the year when the roster is formed. And so you've got a big time of the year right now with this. And you know, look, Yzerman knows what he's doing. That I'll say. A lot of people are like, oh, what are they doing? You know, they get impatient because every team in town kind of stinks, right? Except the Lions. Lions win 9 games and they're going to win the Super Bowl. That's right,
the Lions don't make the playoffs, and next thing you know, they're winning the Super Bowl. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's just not dynamic in the town. But the Red Wings, they're making a lot of progress. We've talked in the previous podcasts about their minor league system, which we'll get into again at some point this summer before training camp starts. And don't forget to subscribe to us, the Apple iTunes Store, the Google Play Store. It's called Bustin' Balls. And don't forget to download us at odyssey.com. And you can get this podcast, well, they're inserted in the columns that I write on the various subjects that I'm writing about. And check out my column as well. I write regularly. And also, don't forget to check it out on the Facebook page. A lot of people get it through that way. 97.1 The Ticket Facebook page. And, of course, our Twitter accounts, Pat Caputo 98 and King of the KFC. So looking forward to Wednesday night. For me, it's a big deal, you know, and I think for a lot of hockey fans, it is a big deal. And the next couple weeks is a big deal, very big deal. So when you have those winter nights and you're wondering what the hell's going on with the Red Wings, a lot of it's determined during the hot, humid summer that we have right now. So till next time, we'll talk to you.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable, because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.